Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 21. It's Monday, September 26, 2016. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, this is a show dedicated to bringing you guys gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre shit. How are you, Ray?
I'm okay. How about you? I'm a little sore. It's a busy weekend.
Sore from what? Your ass is sore? Or just sore in general?
Just sore in general.
Yeah. Last week, I was... I've told you last week I was so dizzy and nauseous and everything.
You were stressed.
I was stressed. I was stressed because...
You just needed some good D.
Yeah, that's right. Or a good C certification.
Oh, okay.
So last Friday I took my Microsoft...
Clitoris?
Yeah, clitoris. Microsoft's clitoris. I passed my certification exam last Friday, so I'm now a Microsoft certified software developer. So I'm
Yay!
So that's all the reason. I think that's the main reason why I was so dizzy and I was stressed for that test.
Stress and bad dick will do it to you every time.
That's right. Always have good dick. So what about you, Ray? What have you been up to?
Well, I've packed up most of my stuff since you're kicking me out.
You're kicking yourself out, right?
I'm not kicking myself out. You tell me to get out. So
I'm out. You're the one who wants
Our year-long love relationship is over with. Yeah. No, actually, I'm moving out. Mater lives too far away from civilization.
Yeah, I live too far north of Houston.
It's only 20-something miles, but in Houston traffic time, that's a 90-minute drive in the morning and in the afternoon.
Yeah, so Ray is moving in closer to the city. So probably, this might be a big change for us. So audience, to the audience who's listening, there might be some changes. Either he comes over or I go over there, or we might do the...
old Skype.
Skype or the Google Hangouts.
I thought they were getting rid of Google Hangouts.
Oh, Google Hangouts is still around. That's okay. That's still working. Many people use that. So we might do that. So we'll be using headsets and we won't be facing each other much, only online. So yeah, that might happen. So stand by for it. So we'll see.
And next week, our show might be delayed or we might not have one. We're just putting that out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
we're both very busy next weekend.
Yeah, we're very busy.
Life-changing events.
Very big life-changing events.
Yeah. I'm moving. Maynard's having a sex change.
That's right. And Ray's going to have penis augmentation. Okay, so last weekend, I also... Mike was here last weekend. So we were watching... We went to the Houston Open Air. It's a concert. I think it's the first time. It's the first year they did it. It's actually, it's like Woodstock, or it's like Voodoo Fest. We have a...
So everybody was stoned and having sex with each other?
Oh, yeah. Well, not about sex, but people are stoned.
Well, then it's not like Woodstock.
Oh, really? That's what happened in Woodstock. Okay, then I'll just say Voodoo Fest then. Or Bonnaroo or Lollapalooza. But anyway, so we went there and they kicked everybody out when we arrived there because there was lightning and they don't want people to be...
Was this an outdoor venue?
It's an outdoor venue. Yeah, that's why they call it...
There's a lot of metal on that stage and surrounding speaker stands and light stands. And stuff.
Well, it's more like there's lightning, so they don't want... Because the weather was bad.
So instead of getting... struck by lightning in the concert venue, you got struck out in the parking lot where it wasn't their responsibility.
Yes, that's right. Yes, exactly. I think that's the reason why. And then 40 minutes later, they said, but they did say that, well, if in the next 40 minutes the weather does not go well, we'll have to cancel the whole concert. But then 40 minutes passed, and then they let everybody in, so everybody went in. But then I missed Anthrax. Anthrax was one of the bands I used to listen to, and it's a really great heavy metal band, but they didn't play. But then we got to see Buck Cherry, Ministry, The Cult, and Slayer, and Alice in Chains. So that was a good week.
Buck Cherry, why do I know that name? It sounds like I should know a song of theirs, but I can't.
Yeah, Crazy Bitch. You fuck so good and on top of me. Nah. You know that song?
Oh, is that what y'all were singing?
Yeah.
Well, I know some crazy bitches out there, but...
Oh, yeah. And they also did a song, I'm Sorry. There's another song, Lit Up. Like, I like my cocaine. I like my cocaine. You know that song? No?
Maynard, are you a drug user?
No, I'm not a drug user. They're drug users, probably. But they just sing about it. So that's Buck Cherry for you. Really exciting. I took some videos. I probably posted on my Facebook page at some point. Okay, Ray. So let's go into the stories, Ray.
All right. This week's gay. New film takes a hard look at masculinity and homophobia in America. We'll post a link to this YouTube video that you can go watch. I watched it and I was like, had some interesting reactions to what was going on. It's a very short video, like 6 minutes. So I highly suggest you watch it. But I'm going to read you the story that came along with it, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. A riveting new short film is taking a gripping and unfiltered look at the effects of masculine ideas, both American culture and the actions that development of men who may be attracted to men. American Male is the winner of MTV's Look Different Creator Competition, which invited up-and-coming filmmakers to create work surrounding the topic of privilege. Well, that would answer one of my questions there.
Mm-hmm.
The powerful film examines the toxic masculinity often pervasive in groups of young American men and the way they disturbing interplay that can be found between same-sex desire and violent homophobia within that group. Filmmaker Martin Rohrenbaugh told the Huffington Post that he wanted to showcase the ways in which young American men navigate the culture of overcompensation to prove their manhood, resulting in a heavy psychological toll. I would like for viewers to gain a better understanding of what it feels like to be in the closet, Rohrenbaugh told the Huffington Post. I also hope they reflect upon their own lives and think about falsehood that might be holding them back. So many of the social norms we've been taught are rooted in discrimination, and so many young people are taught to feel ashamed of who they are, raised to believe there's something wrong with them and that they are not normal or they are not who they should be. Those types of lies are really destructive, which is why they must be exposed and debunked. American Male can be viewed above and here to learn more about MTV's Different Color Creator Competition, and we'll put the links on the webpage. So, after watching this video, I had a couple of questions that I wanted to talk about. Maynard, as a gay man, how has society pressured you?
I'm not gay.
Well, no, you got a mustache, so.
That's right. I can't be gay if I have a mustache.
Yeah.
Well, let me see. Well, I grew up in a very Catholic society. I grew up in the Manila, Philippines, and it's actually expected of me, of many male there, that you'll get married and you're straight, and gay people are people who want to be women, that they would be wearing dresses and everything, and they really just don't, many people don't get it. And I was pressured in a way that my Catholic upbringing did to me. So I had a girlfriend. I even had a, we were together kind of on off. And then later I realized that even though we're together, I did not think of any plans with her to be with her because of the way I really feel. Because I'm really gay and I just don't know.
Really, really gay.
Really, really gay. Yeah. So that it was expected of me. Even my sister was asking, some wondering, Nard is very picky. She thought that I was very picky, that I cannot, that it's hard for me to look for a wife because I'm very picky. Well, thinking about my girlfriend back then, I didn't look like I was very picky.
You were very picky.
Yes.
You wanted a white, hung American bear.
Yes, that's right. That's
and there were not many of those in the Philippines to pick from. So
yeah, there's
were
none
picky.
In the Philippines. So it was expected of me to conform. Like all my friends, they would go out with their girlfriends. They would do double dates and stuff like that. And they expect you to be with a girl. But yeah, it was difficult for me. So how about you, Ray? I mean, how did society
you? The big thing was like, every time you went somewhere, are you playing football? You're big enough to play football. I'm like, yes, I could play football, but I have no desire to play football.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all these things that, just like typical questions, because where I grew up in the South, that was a main thing. if you're big enough, you played football.
Mm-hmm.
Also had a lot of issues with being gay in religion. And I had my own internal struggles with that. In fact, I struggled with that until I was about 26 years old.
Oh, really? That yeah. late?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like in high school, I was kind of like wanting to push that barrier because I knew I was attracted to guys, but I was also horny enough that I was attracted to girls. And pretty much I just wanted something to stick my dick in and could never find it, except for a couple guys I fooled around with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to college, I had a girlfriend that lasted about a year.
Okay.
And I played with a guy, too, and I was like, okay, God, it's getting very confusing. What do I want?
So you're saying you had a girlfriend just because of the sex?
Well, I had a girlfriend because I guess my sophomore year, I was like, I got to figure this out. I've got to be me. So I went and met a guy and kind of fell head over heels like you do when you first come out and fall in love with guys. And he turned out to be a total dick.
So
I was like, screw this. So then I started chasing after this girl, and she started dating me. And she knew I dated the other guy. I mean, it was all open.
She knew you were gay.
Yeah. Well, okay. She knew that I was experimenting, and I'm using air quotes with that.
Oh.
So.
You're in an experimenting mode. Okay.
It was an art school. There was a lot of experimenting going on there with a lot of different substances
God,
and people.
It's so gay.
But everything was fine for about a year. I mean, it was just, and then we just really decided that wasn't it. And after that, I was just so confused and didn't want to deal with it that I just buried it all deep and just kind of gave up on it for a while, other than every now and then getting drunk and trying to hit on somebody. But I didn't go out to the bars or anything like that. I was too chicken shit back then.
You were getting drunk where, at home?
Well, no, it's school. I mean, parties at school and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I went to an arts conservatory, so it's not like in this video, it's very much frat house behavior type stuff. And what you imagine most colleges to be like, where you got to conform and be this this type of person, because you got to be all hyper masculine, you got to be butch, you got all this kind of stuff. And
you know, you have a point there, because back then, because I used to play in a heavy metal band or a punk band, and I was trying to conform also. I was it may not be a frat house like what's in the video, but I was among people who were, you know, who plays in bands, headbanging, moshing guys, and having these groupies. Or they were having groupies. I wasn't interested with the girls, but then I was conforming. I was getting drunk alongside with them, and you know, it was back then. It was the past, and it was something that. I really thought that I conformed with, pretty much. I would really rather be just playing music or probably just geek out with comic books or computers. Yeah. But then, you know, I had a band and everything, so.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing with me is every time I go home, they're like, are you getting married yet? Because, you know, the typical world model I grew up is you go to high school, you either get married out of high school, or you go to college and you meet some girl and you get married out of college. And that didn't happen for me. And all my friends from high school were getting married and having kids. And it was just like, I was on the outside looking in on those, because you'd go do stuff and they'd be like, oh, we got a wife and talk. And you had nothing to talk about, because all they talked about is our wife and kids and football.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing was, I always had a hard time when I first came out and stuff, was meeting guys, because most gay guys thought I was straight. And I was just like, well, you act so straight. And I said, well, I don't think you have to be effeminate to be gay.
Exactly. Like in my family, they thought that having a mustache means you're not gay.
So I thought, so now looking back on that, I thought that's very funny that gay culture kind of pursues this hyper-masculine, straight-acting male that everybody falls for, and that's what they want. But now, but when I was that way, everybody was like, oh, he's straight. He's not gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they wouldn't talk to me. So I just thought it was kind of funny. And then also I had issues just being around other guys. I didn't know how to relate to straight guys.
Right now, it's hard for me to relate with straight guys.
I mean, in a work environment, it's like it's hard for me to relate to some of the men I work with, because they're into that whole frat boy. They're A&M graduates. They can talk about football. And I'm just like, oh, okay, how's the weather?
Yeah.
So.
Or did you watch Walking Dead? You can probably converge with TV shows.
Not really, because most even? Of them Monday Night Football. I mean, it's depending on what crowd you're working with. I mean, most of the people I work with in the oil industry is all like roughnecks and all that. I mean, some of them, I mean, I went to lunch with one of the clients and all he could talk about was his daughter's softball team. And I couldn't relate. I was like, okay, I understand softball, but I just can't get in. You know, it's not something I'm into and can carry a conversation on. So, but the other question I had, I mean, I noticed this was like, something that I noticed in the video is it's pretty much an all-white cast.
It is. It's all frat boys.
It's all frat boys. But the other question on this is, how does this affect people of color and different races and backgrounds of what is assumed? Because to me, I've always kind of seen Latino men as kind of effeminate acting.
That's your view.
That's my view of how I was brought up, that I mean, it's not that they are, but they'll like, it's just the way they dress sometimes or take a more out about their appearance and stuff, I guess.
But then they're pretty much metrosexual or they're
getting. Well, yeah, it was that kind of metrosexual thing. And thank God that's kind of passed. Because it used to be you couldn't tell who was gay and who was straight. And it really got confusing there for a few years. But
isn't that the case now? It's not the case anymore?
I don't think so. I think it's kind of relaxed enough that most guys kind of take care of themselves. And it's okay for you to go get pedicures and manicures and stuff like that.
If you do mani and pedi and you pluck your eyebrows, but you're straight, you better think again.
Well, like Puerto Rico, it's a whole cultural thing down there. Every one of the guys had their eyebrows waxed.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's almost like looking at some chicks from San Antonio. They're almost like Sharpied in, some of them.
I never
have. It's like a big thing in Puerto Rico from the pictures I've seen and people I've talked to, so. Yeah. So it'd be interesting. So if y'all have something different about how, after watching this video, how it affects you of where you grew up or how your race or color affected your...
I'm a person of color. Am I considered a person of color? I guess I am.
Yeah, you're Asian. I mean,
I'm Asianese. So yeah, I'm... I really could not relate to this because I've never been in an environment when I became, you know, when I actually came out and everything. I never been in an environment that it's like this. And if I do, I kind of don't talk about it. Well, I guess that's the effect on me.
Well, let's look at this. Look at most of the Filipino gay movies that come out.
Okay.
The ones that I've seen, most of the gays in it are super effeminate.
That's right.
Except for maybe the lead character or something. All the side characters, like in The Blooming of
Maximo Oliveros.
All the little boys were super effeminate, and they were dressing up like girls. And it was this whole thing, and there's this whole little group of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they doesn't show the side. Well, to me, that was like they think they have to be feminine to be gay. Or is that just how they are? Is that what society's put? Well, if you're going to be effeminate, you're going to be a girl.
Yeah, that's what you said earlier. Yeah, that in the Philippines, that some of them, like the perception of my mom that if you're gay, you want to be a woman. Yeah. You have to be dressing up. You need to be effeminate. You have to be all shaven up. You have to be wearing a dress. You know, that's the view. And
but you had a mustache.
But I had a mustache, so I could get away with it. So I remember back then there was this bar in the Philippines called Giraffe, and they're trying to change the name. People kind of called the Gay Raff instead of Giraffe, because many gay people go there. People who would be in dresses and go there and go to the bars and go to that bar, and that's why it's called the Gay Raff. But I never got a chance to actually go there. I mean, I only hear about it, but I never went. And it's very pervasive in the Philippine culture that in back in the day, I don't know now though, that in bars like that, people who are gay, either they're wearing makeup or they're going to the bars and picking up the match dancers. So I personally did not experience that, and I do have friends.
So you
friends.
Try to pick up a macho dancer?
No, but my first boyfriend was a macho dancer. But I did not pick him up. I met him online, you know. That's one of those BBS days. Uh-huh. Yeah, so my first boyfriend was, he said he was a macho dancer. Yeah, It's kind of unusual because he's part Middle Eastern, I think, part Chinese, part Middle Eastern, and is very hairy. He's I guess he's as hairy as you, Ray. So not as hairy as Mike, but yeah, he's hairy all over, and he was a macho dancer. He was telling me, and but a very small dick. So he's
that would never work in the U.S. because to be a dancer in the U.S. you have to have a big dick.
Oh, really?
A big bubble butt.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So, but you know, talking about giraffe.
Giraffe. Yeah.
Giraffe. Have you ever noticed the butcher, the bar name, the more Nellier they're in, are on
the people inside it? Yeah, I guess so. So. Anyway, so yeah, what do you guys think of this topic? It's very interesting that how society pressured you, I guess, how to conform. Yeah. Maybe our friend from Cincinnati would have some insight to this. Maybe he can send us an email at show at gigikbizarre.com. Maybe he
or
can.
Or he could just call us and leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, he can do that too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the geek.
To the geek.
Okay, so I got this.
Yay!
This is from the Gay Geek Bizarre Facebook page. So it's about Mars. So Congress just mandated a human mission to Mars. Yes, we're kind of advancing, thinking ahead and everything for our future, because these are the first steps you have to take before. The sun engulfs the earth and destroys everything. We need to get out of the earth. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the story.
Trump invades the earth and engulfs everything. Yeah.
Mars has been the vague next big goal of NASA's manned space exploration since the 1970s, but a real concrete commitment never quite seemed to happen. Until now, a bipartisan bill passed yesterday, probably the other day, in Congress authorizes a new $19.5 billion budget for NASA and an official mandate to send a crewed mission to Mars within 25 years.
That's a long time span.
But still, it's a good plan. The bill, S.3346, provides a good bit more money than the Obama administration's proposed $19 billion NASA budget. So it's just 0.5 billion, and will hopefully safeguard this money for NASA's use, no matter who or what ends up in the White House next year. Oh my God, it's going to be scary. Who's going to be? And tonight's the debate. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on a debate, on the presidential debate. So the bill provides for a number of crucial programs. Okay, here's a list. Continued development of the new space launch systems launchers and the Orion Earth orbit and beyond spacecraft, with the goal of an uncrewed mission in 2018 and a crewed mission by 2021. Next bullet point, work to keep the ISS, the International Space Station, operational to at least 2024, with the possible extension to 2028. Set 2018 as a date for commercial sector crew launches to the ISS. Wow, this would be exciting. Mm-hmm. People can actually afford it. Well, if you're very rich.
Yeah.
Probably, let's say, 25,000 to go.
Yeah, but there's also commercial stuff, applications that could be used and done up there.
Yeah, like space, advertising.
Well, not as much advertising, but I mean, just going out of space and be able to create a perfectly round ball bearing. How much friction and how much better the ball bearings would be.
Mm, good point. So, other stuff here is the development of a new spacesuit for Mars. Yeah, you need to do that. And, of course, a crewed Mars mission by the 2030s. The one notable mission the bill does not provide for is NASA's proposed asteroid capture and return mission. This is brilliant, though. They thought about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So such a mission would attempt to capture a multi-ton asteroid and bring it to a lunar orbit. Once there, the asteroid would be used to help develop skills and technologies needed for the crewed Mars mission and provide a comprehensive test of the Orion spacecraft systems. It's amazing that they can think about this. I didn't think about this, that you can have an asteroid capture it and then make it your own, and it's going to be in orbit.
Well, the big thing for a space elevator is always you have to have something to anchor to it in space, and that was always the fantasy part of it, was that you go grab an asteroid and anchor it to the asteroid for the space elevator.
Yeah. Science fiction writers thought about that and then now, yeah.
I mean, it's been theoretical that you can, and for years, in theory, we had the technology to build one. We've just never done it.
Yeah.
So if we could build one, that would make getting supplies into outer space a lot quicker and a lot safer. Mm-hmm. Make it easier to travel into space and get stuff and have a functioning like the National Space Station crewing it, and also do zero gravity manufacturing and stuff, all the benefits from that. So it'd be interesting if they could do that. So.
But, you know, having a...
But if you get an asteroid, you also have a chance to study it for what kind of minerals and...
Yeah. Probably bacteria.
And whatever else. Well, yeah.
That's
whatever,
alien how much life ice form right there.
Because the biggest thing is going to Mars is you're going to have be able to convert ice into water.
Mm-hmm. You know what's scary about it, though, if you fuck up and you have the asteroid, you know, orbiting the Earth, and then you somehow fuck up that it loses its orbit or something, it lands on the Earth, it becomes catastrophic.
Well, that's true.
That's the scary part.
That's probably what the asteroid happened to the dinosaurs. Those arms were so short, they hit the wrong button by mistake, and it crashed into the Earth.
Yeah, so that's the scary part. So what do you guys think of a Mars mission? If it's going to be the next, how many, 20, 20, 23 or something like that? If we have something like 2030,
we'll still be alive. I mean, like, SpaceX is getting about every other rocket into space without it blowing up.
God, 2030? That's 17 years from now.
Maynard.
We should still be alive.
We'll be old.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we could probably go at least in the orbit or something. I don't know. It's going to be space exploration.
Or maybe we can move to an orbiting space station and live longer because the less gravity, less tear and wear it's on our body, and we can live longer.
Oh, good idea.
Because it's estimated that people that live on the moon would live at least 20 to 30 years longer than
somebody. Oh, because there was less gravity.
Less gravity and the less wear and tear on the body.
So. No need for Botox. You know, gravity would sometimes affect you. Okay, let's go to the Bizarre Ray. Here's your Bizarre Ray.
Okay. So does Godzilla have a penis?
I haven't seen any.
This, how do you know? Have you been down there? Have you been all up on it?
I've been watching the movies.
Mr. Size Queen, have you been all up on it?
No, but okay.
Goes along with this, is Superman cut or uncut? So, conceived as the embodiment of the nuclear age in a devastated post-war Japan, Godzilla has destroyed Tokyo over and over again for 6 decades and counting. And in that time, many have wondered, why is Godzilla so angry? Is it simply his nature? Is it because he was awoken from a million years of deep sleep by the atom bomb? Maybe it's disappointment in the human race. Or could it be that Godzilla is just a lonely, horny, misunderstood monster? Think about it. If Godzilla is aware of a man's ability to love and have sex but can't do it himself, blame American translators and Roland Emmerich for our assumption that Godzilla is a dude. Wouldn't that upset him? Since his debut in 1954, Gojira.
From Godzilla.
Many experts have studied the legendary movie monster and given serious thought to the mysteries of the big guy's anatomy. So, does Godzilla have a penis?
How could it be? It's so hidden, I guess.
Yes, Godzilla has a penis. Assets writer and Godzilla expert, how you say his name?
Shia Porn. Thira Kulstit.
Pop culture pseudoscience expert who has given lectures on Godzilla's biology for his panels at the Smithsonian and TEDx.
Why is he even talking? Yeah. Why?
He also likens Godzilla's biology to that of most reptiles, pointing out that his hemipenal butt.
Hemipenal.
Is that how? Oh, God, I can't read it. Hemipenal bulge at the base of the tail below the belly. If you look at pictures this area on Godzilla, you will notice said bulge. Have you sat down and studied these pictures of said bulge,
man? No, I haven't.
Then how do you know if he has a penis or not?
I've just seen the movies.
Well, he's not having sex in the movies. He's
And remember the one with Matthew Broderick? She gave birth to eggs. So she's female.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Okay.
The company line, however, is that such anatomical specificity is off limits. When you're working for Toho, it's just not a concern. You won't even have to think about it. It's not part of the design, explains Matt Frank, the comic book artist for the IDW's ongoing Godzilla comic book series. Design of Godzilla, Toho has to approve. You can't just have a hanging schlong out there. The whole idea is that how do you say that?
Kaiju.
That's the same name of the creatures from, what's that movie?
The one with two people.
That run the machine, the robots. Machines, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it generally means yeah. monster or something. So, like that.
The whole idea is that the kaiju are inherently mysterious. If you know everything about them, they cease to be kaiju, which is pretty much along with the movie. Frank explains the term means mysterious beast. It's something unquantifiable. That's the thing Toho really stipulates nowadays. We can't really know everything about Godzilla. We're not even certain what he eats aside from the radioactive energy, unless it's a specific part of the story. To know more flies in and face of everything kaiju. So Godzilla may definitely have a penis, though we can't be sure. But let's assume for a moment that he does indeed pack heat. Can he use it? And does he just need a good shad to get rid of the pain of being a monster born of atomic warfare? Godzilla came from a certain historical context and speaks to Japanese people in a different way than it speaks to us. Chichisu says.
Tsutsui.
A Japanese-American who grew up in Texas and attended Harvard and Princeton. He admired Godzilla as a child and used the movie Monster as a bridge to his own culture and a launching pad for his career as a historical lecturer.
Historical lecturer.
Getting tongue-tied. People in the rest of the world can love Godzilla, but I think it touches different buttons for the Japanese than it will for us, he says. He is more than just a big lizard walking through Tokyo. But about some fundamental questions of Japanese society and culture. When I asked him if Godzilla has a dick, he laughed. To my knowledge, no. But we don't have that kind of relationship.
No. So he's a some kind of a historian, but he didn't.
He's a historian and he studies stuff about Japanese culture. And the whole thing about Godzilla is all about the Americans dropping the atomic bomb and destroying their culture and changing everything the way Japan is. To make it what it is currently today.
And then it kind of radiated him and became one big
lizard. Godzilla represents America coming in and
destroying everything.
And destroying everything.
Oh, it's a euphemism.
And,
okay.
Yeah, it's a euphemism. And like, all right. And that's where the whole nuclear thing came into Godzilla. And they use it, well, Godzilla was created because we were using nuclear power and nuclear bombs and blah, blah, blah. But really it's about America. I think it's about America coming in and blowing up Japan. In World War II.
So Americans are great green lizards then, I guess.
Well, pretty much. So. Depends on who the next president is.
It's going to be an orange, probably. Yeah.
Okay, right. I'll let you do this a minute because this one just grosses me out too much. I can't.
Okay,
even.
This is also on the Geek Bizarre Facebook page. So a woman finds a rat head in Popeye's chicken meal. Ugh, it's from Huffington Post. So a New Jersey woman may be too chicken to eat at Popeye's Louisiana kitchen again after finding what she claims is a rat head in her meal. Of course, with social media right now, you can actually take pictures of. We just great. You can't just claim anything without taking a picture. You have a phone. Everybody in the world right now has a phone. So Rosemary Thomas of Clifton Park on Sunday posted an unappetizing photo of a meal on Facebook and said it came from a Popeyes in Harlem where she was eating with her daughter, sister, and niece. This is clearly a rat, and they have the nerve to have a 5 rating by the Department of Health, she wrote. It depends on which Popeyes chicken, though. Maybe if it's in Louisiana, it's better. Thomas has not responded to Huffington Post requests for comment, but she wrote on Facebook that she took her daughter to an urgent care clinic because the experience made the girl sick to her stomach. And so does Ray. I guess he doesn't look well right now. Just talking about this. Cover your ears, Ray. Yesterday, she ate nothing at all. Thomas wrote, all she said she could think was the rat head after she consumed the crispy part. Ooh, yummy, Ray. Crispy, hairy. Thomas also said she still had the rat. She still had the rat head. She still has the rat head. She's got to keep it for
lawsuit.
Popeye's spokeswoman, Renee Kupkowski, said the company is aware of the woman's experience and that the owner of the franchise has reached out to Thomas to get the bottom of the incident. He's meeting with Thomas as soon as she is able, Kupkowski told Huffington Post. In the meantime, he ordered a health department inspection and they found nothing out of the ordinary. We've checked with suppliers and feel, of course, they've cleaned it up. You would do the same thing, right? suppliers, and they feel it most likely chicken organ meat. We will work with the guest to recover the product and test it to confirm that. But there are pictures already.
Yeah, but that she could have fried that redhead and thrown it in the bag with the stuff too, and then made a big deal of it, so she'd get a lawsuit.
Yeah. So,
but also, you know, we passed these rules that now we can import meat from China and stuff, so that could be some of that Chinese rat meat that's coming over here that's supposedly circulating around.
Well, you don't know about that.
Well, we've seen the Facebook post on it, just like this. It was a Facebook post.
Yeah.
And where they busted thousands of pounds of rat meat coming into the U.S.
But according to Sylvester Stallone in Demolition Man, rat burgers are pretty good.
Well, they might be, but I don't want one. Although I probably had one because I've eaten too many fast food restaurants. Yeah. So I ain't gonna tell you what that processed beef is. Mm-hmm. And where it came from and what it really is.
And but you know, when it comes to food, there is a percentage of rat poop that is acceptable.
Yes, I know.
So, yum.
And if you looked in some restaurants, you can that percentage is probably higher than others.
Mm-hmm. Very yummy.
How you judge a restaurant, Maynard? Go to their bathroom. If their bathrooms are dirty, the kitchens are dirty.
You think so? That's how
yes.
you do it?
Yes.
Okay. What if everything else is clean?
Nah. That's just all show, because if they care enough to keep the bathrooms clean, they definitely care to keep the kitchens clean.
Mm, okay. All right, so I guess that's the stories for you guys. Wow, we were on for more than 35 minutes, Ray. Wow.
Well, you had to talk about Godzilla penis.
No, you and they had to talk about fried rat.
Fried rat.
Okay, so special thanks to Caesar. It was his birthday last week. So happy birthday again. Belated happy birthday, Caesar. And thanks for the articles on Gay Geek Bazaar. It's on facebook.com/gaygeekbazaar. If you guys want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbazaar.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327.
Yes. Follow us on Facebook. Yeah, we have Facebook and Twitter. I haven't been posting on Twitter. I keep forgetting. Maybe I'll try to remember this time. And yeah, we're on SoundCloud, but we haven't updated SoundCloud because I really don't have a full account there. And we're on Google Play, also in iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can listen to us in those leading podcast and radio applications. So go to the official website and see the links that we post that we talked about here at gaygeekbazaar.com. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.